Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Bloodlines Wrap Up podcast for episode 2. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Al Usher. Allie, how are you?
Brian, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm struggling.
The struggle bus is out.
Oh, my God. I'm the captain of the struggle bus. But, you know, the show must go on. And I rushed home from my company's holiday party. I'm on, like, one minute of sleep from last night. But you guys give me strength. Your 5-star reviews are the only caffeine I need.
And we got more, right?
We got a couple more this week. We got 4 5-star reviews. I can't believe it. They always crack me up. I love them. Great. GR8 with 3 dancing lady emojis.
Wow.
So he's already on top. This is coming to you from @Daniel_Shelley, who writes a really nice thing about us and then followed it with PS, follow me on Twitter. I thought it was ballsy. I did follow him on Twitter and I don't regret it.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Then Cuddly Caucasian gave us 5 stars, titled it 4.9 stars. His only complaint is that there aren't enough advertisements for TrueCar. I mean, you know, call them up. We're not the place to go for those kinds of complaints.
We'll definitely take advertisements. You guys can advertise stuff on here if you want.
I'll do the whole show of advertisements. I'm not above it.
We'll get everything sponsored.
This is pretty funny. Entertaining and fun from T Reigns. Now, I have reason to believe that this is you. This person says that we break down all the fights. We're a perfect match as podcast co-hosts, although we need a truth boot to confirm this. I love Shane soundbites. The Shane soundbites they used in the Bloodlines premiere podcast. How about adding some Tony soundbites as well?
Wait. You like that one?
Brian, if you want me to give you specific sound bites, you could just come to me directly. You don't have to, like, do this whole shtick
I'd rather just say wait a lot and make you think that, wait, is something actually wrong? And then have that brief moment of pause to think that I'm actually quoting them.
I've gotten used to it. My pause is just because I'm on, like, a 3-minute delay, just, like, in my own brain.
That's pretty bad.
The first time you did get me. All right, and then rounding out our this week's 5-star reviews, amazing from Sparano Marcelo, a new fan from Brazil, the land of Abby Maria and dragons, ? Great job. So thank you all for your reviews. If you're not giving us reviews, thank you all for just listening. Seriously, I love you guys. And that's emotional and real.
Yeah. We'd even like you even if you cut your hair.
I didn't say like, I said love. I went all out. I don't know that, you know, Brianna's boyfriend is telling her that he loves her, but I'm telling you guys that I love you.
Is that a doozy? I'm like so excited to talk about that. It's like hard to contain myself.
It's the only thing keeping me going right now.
All right. Well, that's a little further away. So you want to just jump right into the start of this one?
Let's do it.
We start out a nice little beach party. I think they got a little taste of the locals. They didn't see them hanging out with many of them, but it seemed like they were in the background in the distance, which I do enjoy.
What do you mean by taste? No, I'm just kidding. One thing, just backtracking a little bit. I specifically wrote a note to you in my notes that I felt like you would love the, like, tonight on the challenge, TJ will deliver a twist that will send shockwaves through the game. I was just like, Brian's, like, rolling somewhere, like, loving this.
Always. Anytime TJ sends shockwaves, you know, that you got me.
It changed nothing this episode.
No, nothing. That's classic MTV, right? They tease something that's going to happen, and it only happens in the last like 10 seconds, and it really happens in the next episode. Like, that's classic MTV trailering.
This was pretty shitty. I mean, just because the concept was so broken, that the fact that they were like, don't worry, just get through one episode, we know it sucks, and then they're like, lols, we did it again.
I guess when you think about it, though, it really made sense that they really had to do a guys week, just to, like, even it out. So I guess we probably should, if you thought about it a little more, it probably made more sense that they were waiting to do it for week 3.
I think it made even less sense. Like, I just think they needed to never do this. They need to, like, you know, squeegee this whole thing, wash it clean, and pretend this never happened, because these last 2 episodes have been great entertainment wise but competition wise have been abysmal. And not because the comp, like you were saying, last week's competition was great, it just makes no sense.
I totally agree. It's just weird, because watching this, it's almost like we're in a mindset of, we know things are changing, but like the people in the show don't know. So it's just a weird dynamic. I know there's like a literary term for that. I'm not a literary guy, so I don't know what the term is. But there's something about when the audience knows something that the characters in the show don't know, and that's what kind of we're going through in the first couple episodes.
One thing, getting back to the Darty that I so rudely took us away from, I happen to think that this is a great episode for Bananas, but I have a question, and it's not, I'm not hating. I think it's hilarious. I just want to know, did Johnny bring his own GoPro and he's like, I'm doing this, it's Bananas Cam, or did they give a GoPro to the cast and Johnny just like totally claimed it?
I had the same thought. My guess is that MTV had the GoPro and Banana says, oh, I'm going to take it. And then MTV was like, oh, that's great. You take it, pass it around. And he's like, no, screw that. This is a Banana Cam. I'm hogging this the entire time.
It could really go either way. Like, I really did give this like at least 2 seconds of thought. And it's like, I could really see it either way. Like, he brought his own camera and MTV was like, well, fine. Or they gave it to him for the house and he was like, no, it's mine. And MTV was like, well, fine.
No, but that's definitely a question I want answered by the time the season over. What was the process of the GoPro getting on this season?
I look forward to your discovery. That's actually should be the new topic for this new season of Serial.
Which did drop today. Did you listen to it? Not to promote another podcast while doing this podcast.
I would like to say that I challenge you to go back to your Twitter feed and tell me that I wasn't the first person on Twitter to let you know that it dropped today.
That's incorrect. I actually saw it from Barstool. I've someone on there tweeted.
Go back.
First,
what time? Go back. I was up all night.
I don't honestly. Maybe I saw it from like what you missed, and then I saw yours. So I'll have to check, review the tapes of my timeline, and saw what I saw first.
Let's get a timestamp on that because okay. I've been up all night, bro, waiting on Serial. No, not really. I did listen to it, and if anyone would like a podcast on the podcast, we're welcome. You could just call us socially.
Leave it in the reviews.
Brian, give your phone number. It's
555.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so Kara and Thomas are getting their grope on, allegedly, in the back of the bus. Ugh, God.
So, not to take this back to the Challenge Fantasy League, but we have a controversial moment here, because I had no idea how to score this.
I will say that I read your challenge scoring blog today. I thought it was hysterical that you're like, all of these points are pending for the review on their
Well, because podcast. I didn't put that last time, but then we changed like a bunch of things. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I should probably put that warning there. Because people do use this like for other leagues. So I figure I should give them a heads up.
Well, that's what I feel bad about is like, you invented this. It's your blog. Like, someone was like, are you going to be posting it? And I was like, yeah, here's Brian's blog. Like, he's been doing this forever.
I should probably try to monetize this.
Well, probably not, but you should, I mean, you can try anything you want. I'm behind you, but you shouldn't have to change like your ways because I'm like a stickler for bullshit things. That's why I was like, we could keep it amongst ourselves. And no, I understand your perspective.
If I'm going to score this, I'm going to keep it like for our thing. I'm not having two different things going on. That's too craziness. So I'm just keeping everything the same.
I respect that. And I will hesitate to challenge as much because this is like really your thing. And I'm just like walking in. But it's against my nature. You'll have to appreciate to not challenge something.
So back to the original question. Do you agree that there was no coitus points that should be awarded?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. At best, it was like an over the pants rub down.
Yeah, but
there are no points
that.
Awarded.
Right. OK, good.
A couple things. Judah Ray, Mario, I'm going to let him make this joke. Is it just me or did Thomas learn how to play rock, paper, scissors differently than everyone else in the world?
Well, what do you mean? Well, I mean, I understand, like, is she actually saying, like, in terms of what he was describing as rock, paper, scissors or the joke of that being rock, paper, scissors? Because obviously they weren't doing rock, paper, scissors, but the motion to starting rock, paper, scissors is the motion. That's how you start rock, paper, scissors.
Speak more on this, please. Say some more.
That's all I got.
No, you know what? This like whole first 5-10 minutes of the show was like just laden with eye rolls for me. It was like Tony said something that I didn't even bother writing down. I just wrote eye roll count on Tony one. And then when Thomas says this, it reminds me, it's happened so many times on MTV where like someone's trying to deny or be discreet about their indiscretions, and they'll say something so stupid that's just like, okay, like obviously shit happened. And that's what happens with Thomas being like, oh, we were playing rock, paper, scissors. Oh, my hand goes up and down. That's the hand motion. I was just like, eye roll central.
It was a little, I mean, I chuckled because it was so obvious that it was just the way he came up with that was I thought it was entertaining because, I mean, it was obvious, but it was funny.
Different strokes for different folks, you know.
Is that pun intended or?
One thing, Jamie Larson, who is Thomas's ex from Real World Explosion, his ex, not the, he dated her.
Yeah, he went in having an ex and then created a new ex. So that was a cool move.
She tweeted, what am I watching right now? Rock, paper, scissors, my ass. Thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to see that. She blocks me.
Well, you're lost.
Yeah, I know. I'm missing out on Jay and Jamie's tweets. Whatever would I do with my life?
One thing I want to know from you is so Thomas makes like a dumb joke about the fact that he was getting a handy on the bus. And Kara, her comment on this is, I will do anything I can to get to the final. I just wrote, what was your reaction to this? I don't know how this sat with me.
Good for her. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about pimping yourself out, but like flirting and stuff. Absolutely. Use everything you can. I mean, we see that on Survivor all the time. We don't see the rock, paper, scissors all the time, but we see the flirting to get to the end sometimes. So I have no problem with it. I'm just so curious, right? Of all the people in this house to hook up with, why you would pick the person who's dating a psychopath is really one of the more questionable things I can ever think of.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, why is a veteran like Kara like ruining her life by groping Thomas on the bus, allegedly, because he has almost nothing to offer her that we've seen. I mean,
for sure.
So I understand why Thomas has an interest in her. She's the strongest woman in the house. Probably one of the strongest teams in the house and a vet with connections. But for her, I don't understand the interest on her end. That's kind of why my reaction was not like, oh, slut shamey, she shouldn't be using herself or her romance to get to the end. No, but there's a difference. I think she's using that as an excuse. I think she's attracted to Thomas for whatever reason. She wanted to get, you know, some love in during the season or for whatever reason from Thomas. And now, you know, hindsight 2020 in her confessional, she's like, oh yeah, I was just doing whatever I could to get to the end. Like, there's no backing to support that. Like, Thomas was not an asset at this stage in the game.
Thomas, you didn't need to do much to get Thomas to be on your side. So yeah, you didn't need to do that. But
go ahead.
No, that's all I had.
Jillian Nicole wants to know, do you think that Kara will still be in a relationship after this episode?
I mean, can we just take a moment and really realize the fact that Kara and Abram live in Montana? Like, that is just one of the more baffling things I think I've ever heard of in my life. So anytime that I'm so ready for them to break up that I'm more shocked that anytime they're one of them is on a show and they say they're still together, it's a surprise for me.
Wait, you're baffled that they're together because they live in Montana and there's like a lot of competition there?
They just seem the complete opposite people that would live in Montana. Like, they're lunatic people.
Yeah, lunatic people tend to go to, like, you know, the remote areas of the country. Kara, I know, is, like, really into horses. And so I can see why they're in the middle of nowhere together. But I think that I had something to say, but I'm really tired and I forgot.
See you in this podcast. Let's go.
As far as will Kara still be in a relationship, I don't know. Oh, this is what I was going to say. I'm back, baby. All right. I don't know why. I just forgot again. Oh, my God.
Tired people problems.
I wasted it saying I'm back, baby, and then I wasn't back.
Maybe just write it down.
Yes, got it. Okay. Kara this whole time has been like, I'm still with Abram. I spend a lot of time with him in Montana. I live with him. But she has not been like, Abram's my boyfriend. We're together firmly. Have you noticed that at all?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, she hasn't used the B word, but I mean, living together would imply that.
Right, and that's why I'm like, who are you trying to fool? Like, I feel like she's very hesitant to be like, Abram and I are together, like, we're exclusive. She's very, and maybe that's kind of like the boundaries of the relationship, although from the previews, it seems like Abram's pretty pissed about this. She's very much like, Yeah, like, we're, like, together, you know, like, we're around, I'm in Montana with him, as opposed to, like, two people who, like, Tony was more adamant about living with Madison than Kara was with Abe.
Right, I mean, and Cutthroat was, like, a long time ago. It wasn't like, oh, they met two seasons ago and now they just brought, like, Cutthroat was, I mean, that had to be, like, 4 years ago at this point, right? So that's a pretty long relationship.
You know you're not asking me right now when, like, even last week happened.
I was throwing it out to the ether.
Okay, Kara had a couple tweets about this. So she tweeted, broad daylight on a bus? No. Nothing ever came out of anyone's clothing. Swear on my horse's soul. Regardless, cringeworthy. Sorry, everyone. Follow-up tweet. You think if I was hooking up on DL that MTV wouldn't catch and blast that? Nothing other than making out and immediate regret, the end. Now, I would like to put some points on the board.
For what?
Kara saying that they were making out.
But we didn't see it. I can't go based off what people say. It's got to be what's shown.
Okay, that's fine. I wasn't sure, because I thought it was, like, based on what's confirmed.
It's got to be shown. I can't be...
We're learning lessons here. Points.
Yeah,
that's fair. Okay, I didn't actually think of it until I read it out loud. Anyway, regardless, Cara Maria admits that they made out, denies that anything else happened. And I actually don't really think that anyone thought there was actual, you know, nudity in the back of the bus. She's like, nothing came out of clothing. I don't think anyone was caring about that.
Are you surprised that they, I mean, so they really only had the GoPro there. Are you surprised there wasn't other cameras there? Especially for, like, when we see a lot of stuff happen on, like, the buses, transportation in between the house and the party.
Well, it begs the question again, like, who gave whom the GoPro? Like, did they say, we have a GoPro on the bus, and the buses are, you know, stationed with GoPros, and they just made it seem like it was the bananas cam? Was there someone on the bus, right, and they just made it seem like the bananas cam? Was this the official camera? Like, I don't think they were going to let anything go unfilmed, and that's why we got the footage. Now, how they got the footage and how they want to make it seem like they got the footage, question marks abound.
Right, right. It's good. Yeah, who knows?
One thing I was thinking of, when we get they still, like, try to do this, like, Jill, I think, comes out and, like, reads the clue to the challenge.
Right.
And it's like, that used to be like, we just got a clue on our T-Mobile sidekick.
I know, I missed that. That's the glory days. That's when they gave out prizes for winning challenges.
Well, I feel like in another iteration of the Fantasy League, you should get points if your player reads the clue.
I thought about that. I thought about that. We probably should. We just never added it officially.
You know, there's always room for growth.
Always. We make changes every year.
Now, on the challenge name, you brought it up last week, I think, but these challenge names are getting so weak. Family Dinner. Is Ryan Devlin writing for the challenge now?
I mean, no, because the Devlin challenges are names are just like things he just wants to say to sound cool. This is just, I mean, these are just getting pretty basic. That's the only thing.
And it's not even
creative with the name of the format of the challenge.
I let it go last week. Now that we have 2 weeks in a row of just, like, dom dom, I just, like, Family Dinner. That's not even a good basic name.
The thing about that, though, is I definitely think Devlin tries to contribute to names and challenges. TJ just definitely doesn't give a crap. He just wants to show up there and watch people compete or do crazy stuff.
Oh, 100%. And now, how much worse is this challenge than the Survivor Gross Food Challenges?
That's what I was thinking. This is the most disgusting thing I've seen between the two shows. It has to be, right? I mean, they never have to do live shit. Do they?
Well, I want to say the grubs were live.
Yeah, I guess so. But those are like, they're like barely alive. They're like worms.
The thing is like, you can't, like, a lot of people, like, swallow things whole, like, just get it down, whatever. Like, the fact that they make you chew it and spit it out is, like, so foul. But Ana Jose had a clarification question on that, so... Let me ask Ana Jose's question.
Go for it.
Do you think the rules of the challenge were clear enough? It seemed like they were just supposed to chew the bugs and spit them into the tube. But a lot of people were just stuffing the bugs whole down the tube, which is so much easier.
I thought it was pretty clear. I mean, I think he was implying you want to kill them just because you don't want to having a live bug in your mouth. But if you want to have a live bug in your mouth and then spit it out, more power to you.
Well, I think the live bug in your mouth is way better than the, like, explosion of disgusting guts when you chew it. I thought he made it very clear that you have to chew the bug and spit it through. And I think that's why it was, like, a volume measurement at the end. So it's, like, really doesn't matter if you chew it. In fact, you might have an advantage because you'll get more of your saliva in it as opposed to just, right, like, dropping the bug in. But I just thought TJ was, like, way too distracted with just being level one TJ to actually give accurate rules when he says, like, you'll have two species of bugs. One I can't touch, and the other I don't want to eat. That's for damn sure.
I love TJ's jokes. I love during the challenge, him making fun of everyone was great. This was a solid TJ challenge, I thought.
I definitely needed to pull a question I didn't pull. So whoever asked this question, I'm sorry, but it's a great question. So who would you rather be eating or suffering?
Suffering, 100%.
Why?
I would make fun of Brianna, but I would probably be her. I couldn't deal with putting a live bug in my mouth. I would be grossed out the hell. With a snake crawling around, I could probably just, like, try to zone out. But my question is, why were they so sure the snake wouldn't bite someone?
Well,
did they, like, cut the teeth out or something?
I think there are just some snakes that if they do bite you, they're not poisonous. Like, I think that was the issue on the after show. For anyone who didn't watch, there was a hilarious scene where they were originally going to have tarantulas, yes, in this terrarium and in this box. And, like, this random spider handler, someone, thank God, was like, oh, by the way, would these kill you? And they were like, yeah, a couple bites, like, you'd be dead. And they were like, oh, abandoned ship. And he was like, well, I have some snakes in my trunk. And they were like, all right, we'll take the snakes.
What's baffling even more so is they're like, oh, we found these, like, special spiders and we shipped them in. It costs all this money. But they didn't bother to do any research about if they're killer spiders. Like, we're just like, oh, before we spend all this money and ship these spiders out, let's just make sure, like, we could actually do this.
Good, I mean, job, the whole MTV's thing was bizarre. Another thing, I mean, if you want to draw from Survivor again, like, they're drawing rocks to determine who's eating and who's suffering. Do you think they should have been allowed to choose, or did you like the rock draw?
I think it would have been cool if they gave them an option, like, you can either decide amongst yourselves or go to rocks. I would have liked to seen, like, who stepped up and did what. I don't think that would have taken anything away from it if they did that.
Wait, clarify. You mean the whole group had to decide unanimously?
Each team can decide. If you can decide amongst yourselves, you can do that. Or if you can't decide, you'll draw rocks.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if they were, my first reaction was like, oh, they should have let them decide amongst themselves. But then I'm thinking, are they trying to make it as fair as it possibly can be between the guy, girl, guy, guy teams? Like, would you potentially assume, okay, well, like, all the guys would eat for the guy teams.
But why is a guy eating, like, that much better than a girl eating?
I don't know. I don't know. I just, like, the vibe I got was, like, the girls had a more difficult time, like, in this scenario. Now, they were girl-girl teams, but I think Kahuna would have been eating, for example.
Yeah, that's probably true, but I don't know inherently if he would have done better. He probably would have just done better because Kahuna usually does well with these weird things, but I don't think it would have mattered for a lot of teams.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying if you were to go, like, group by group on the guy-girl pairs, like, Kara and Jamie may have been all else equal, but, or no, she was, like, really excited to not be eating.
Yeah.
But, and so she got lucky. Kahuna, I think, would have done better just because he was upset to be suffering while she was eating. And so, like, I just think in general, I'm not saying the guys would have done inherently better, but I just think maybe they were trying to just try to make it seem as fair as possible. Whereas if they did let them pick and all the guys went, you know,
right,
I don't know. There's like something there. It's inherently an unfair situation they have going on, especially when it comes down to how the elimination works.
It's just the whole thing is just a mismatch of clusterness that hopefully now is, or not hopefully, but is now going to be over. So
hashtag clusterness. I like that. Bananas here. Hashtags. Another great moment for Bananas. A genius technique using his big old head to smash the bugs so that he doesn't have to smash them in his mouth.
This is what he does. This is why he's a vet. This is why he's the king, because other people don't. He sees the challenge the way other people don't. And that, not even mean that to sucking up, just because he's done so many of these, he knows how to think to beat the system.
He doesn't always, but in this case, he certainly did. And his he definitely can approach these challenges in a different way, at least in this particular instance. But another person who can approach these challenges a different way, Leroy apparently speaks, what is it, like Parseltongue, whatever?
Parseltongue, yeah.
The snake is going to tell him to STFU.
Yeah, I mean, good on him. If you control a snake, now you should get it to teach him to swim.
Jeremy Barrett wants to know, who would you rather be told to shut the F up by, a snake, a tarantula, or Jenna?
Give me the snake, because it could be funny.
I actually think Jenna's been pretty funny the past two episodes, and it's like what she used to give us with Jay, where she's just like dead ass. I'm like starting to realize that like that's the real her. I feel like I was influenced the last time she was on by her Real World performance, where she was just hysterical over Jay, and now that she's just like 100% dead ass all the time, I like can appreciate that.
I think Jenna's had one of the more remarkable transformations from Real World to her challenge kind of prowess in such a short period of time. Was that the Real World, her watching herself on the Real World, I think changed her as a person. She saw how meek she was, how timid she was, and how just confrontational she was. And she is drastically changing that, and it's for the better. Maybe, I don't know about, maybe not for the better for herself causing fights, but like for our entertainment, it's greatly better.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that like a ton on X's last season with her and Jay, and that was probably a huge reason of why she was standing up for herself almost to a fault. Like she was just starting to put him down, probably to overcompensate.
And I think we saw that. I just think we saw that. Well, we'll get to it with the fight with Brianna. That she probably had all the stuff she wanted to say to her for so long, but she didn't know like how to be confrontational, and now she knows how to do it, and that's why it all spilled out.
See, I just think now we're getting like her, the real her, in terms of like she did the horrible, atrocious performance in the Real World. Then she overcorrected on X's, and now she's just like straight up Jenna. I respected that she was saying to Brianna, like, we don't have our boyfriends here. Like, let's enjoy the break. Let's enjoy the vacation. I made lifelong friends. Like, now I kind of feel like she's just like has the right attitude to be here. Not necessarily competition wise, because a lot of her confessionals are like, you know, if I have to eat something, whatever, we'll go to the pit, you know, just very like casual. But I think like she's kind of really paving her own way now, independent of Zach, independent of Jay. And I like what I see from her social game.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. So, oh yeah, this is like a pretty good episode for our own out of context, inappropriate quotes, starting with, all right, that's it, you're done, pull out, from TJ.
I enjoyed that one.
And then I want to know what you think of Nani over the past two episodes, because she gets a classic Nani reaction here when she's like, I don't care what anyone says. Like, I don't care what anyone says. If anyone says, and it's like, you clearly could not care
more
anymore what everyone says.
And you could tell that like confessional went on for like maybe 10 or 15 more seconds. She was on the verge of crying. Like you could see her like starting to shake, her eyes were starting to well. She's like, oh, I don't want to. And then it just happened to cut off. But keep that going a little more, she would have broken down.
Not a cry.
It was not a cry. It wasn't.
But
saved by the cutoff.
Forget the points, you know, just in general. I just felt like this is what bothers me about Nani, is that she, I liked when we were seeing this like kind of vulnerability leading to confidence in her conversation with Kahuta episode one. But this is classic Nani, where it's all fake confidence. And then you can just like see her cracking underneath it. And you can see her insecurity like being, you know, breaking through this like fake show. And I just wish she was more like, yeah, I'm embarrassed. Like, I did my best, and I hope people don't think I did shitty.
But that's not who she is, though. She is very insecure. And I don't think that's ever going to change, really.
Right. And I'm upset by that. Like, I mean, we're talking about how much Jenna has evolved in a couple of seasons. I mean, how many times has Nani been around the block and seen herself on TV? And it's just like back to basics Nani.
Yep.
I'd like to see some evolution from someone who's been on the show and aging with the show.
Maybe we'll see.
But who am
I
to judge?
Maybe we'll see you in the call.
Yeah, right. Shane and Tony had a really cute interaction here, I thought, for this challenge.
I couldn't get past the fact that they had eye black on while eating bugs. That was so, so perfect for Tony and Shane.
What?
You just, like, people wearing eye black is like you're preparing for battle, and they're the only ones wearing it, and then they're, like, eating bugs in the challenge. It's just, like, the combination was perfect.
Well, Tony would rather see guys get physical. Let's get physical. I could just see, like, Tony in spandex, like, with Olivia Newton-John.
That's an odd visual.
I thought this was cute. I thought, like, Tony sees the snake, probably knows Shane has an issue with snakes, and it's like, close your eyes, I love you, it's a snake. I thought that was cute. I think that they had some good, real, like, Tony says they had good communication, and I agree. I think they really were working well together here, and, you know, Tony was kind of redeeming himself for his outburst on Shane, episode one.
It's amazing what being sober will do for a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, anything else you took away from this challenge?
No, I mean, I think we basically covered it. The slow-mo I always usually enjoy during challenges. This one, I didn't need to see people slow-moing eating bugs or bugs flying very slow. So they could have done without that for a little bit.
Just to Brianna's credit, like 0.0001% partial credit, I do respect that she kept her head in it as to not DQ, because there was a chance that, like, Anissa, for example, I mean, she ended up, like, sacking up and getting some bugs down, so who knows if that was just editing to make it not look like a total blowout. But I do respect that Brianna at least kept her head in at a bare minimum in the event that somebody happened to DQ out.
Right. I thought TJ was going to rip her more for being so poor in the challenge.
I mean, he said some people are not cut out for the challenge. I think that was a pretty hard rip.
Yeah, but he's been worse. He's been worse.
I think that was fair. It was tough, but fair.
Yeah, I guess that's what TJ always is, though.
I mean, it wasn't, like, that poor a showing. Like, she didn't refuse to do it. She put her head in there. No. I'm just saying her head was in there. Jenna's head was in there. And I think it's accurate. Like, you're not made for the challenge. And you're lucky as hell that you're not going to go in the pit today.
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't think she should have been, like, verbally abused over it.
I guess
What would you say? Put yourself in TJ's Vans.
I would say, Brianna, you came out here. You didn't give your best effort. You didn't do anything. I was very disappointed in you. I think you need to step up. Your partner's relying on you. You got to do a lot better than this. Brianna, I'm very disappointed.
Two things.
Disappointed is what gets you.
See, I think you're not cut out for the challenge is even worse, because disappointed implies that TJ believed in you. I don't think TJ's disappointed. I think TJ, you met his expectations, which is even worse.
I guess so.
You know what? You're just not cut out for the challenge. You shouldn't be here. And I agree. I wouldn't have casted you. And also, I do think Jenna would not have done this. And there was some debate here between them on the after show. What do you think? Jenna would have gone for, quote, one of the dead ones?
No, she wouldn't have. And that's why I say that when Jay quit, it was really just saving Jenna, because I don't think Jenna would be able to do what they were supposed to do during the final.
I did go back and download our final, as I told one of the listeners I would, and I listened to, like, the first 5 minutes, and then I had to just, like, switch. Like, can't live in the past.
Right.
But I'll trust you, and I'll trust the listeners' recollection. All right, so the top two teams were Corey and Mitch and Carr and Jamie, with Carr and Jamie taking the win.
Good on them. I'm glad he didn't drop that you killed it, because they definitely did not kill it.
Yeah, you were 100%.
Actually, they did kill it. So this would be a good time for it.
They killed a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious, where Kellyanne is, like, most upset that she's going to be killing the bugs as opposed to having to eat them. She's like, I'm sorry.
I love that she was apologizing during the challenge.
Which, like, I mean, it goes back to, like, Kimmy on her season. Like, if you're a vegetarian or you're a vegan or whatever you are, it's tough to just be, like, killing things as the challenge.
And was there anything less surprising than finding out that Kara actually has a pet snake at home?
No, oh yeah, of course Kara was, like, right at home with a snake wrapped around her throat.
It was like when they had that fake elimination about them being locked up to electric. So I was like, oh, I do this all the time. It's like, you totally do, Kara, absolutely.
I 100% thought of that when TJ was like, it's going to send electricity through the, or whatever, it was a voiceover of TJ in the beginning. I was like, tell me she's going to be like, I can put these on my nipples, it's fine.
that's like DL, one of the best moments in not even Kara's history, but like one of the challenge in the challenge history. If you're just, yeah, this is totally fine.
if I could recall it, it's not even DL. Like, especially if I could recall it in my current state.
So but Carr is actually like an all-time great player on this challenge.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't think that she's I think she started out slow. Mm-hmm. She started out weak, and that I think caused a lot of people to not really come around to her too quickly.
Yeah, well, when she was with Laurel, Laurel was pissed at her for being like a weak player, and now look at her. She's like the best female going.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get more into that as the season goes on, if it's like big fish, small pond. But I think Kara could hold her own in mm-hmm. in a sea of yep. the strongest competitors. Not that she's in that sea right now. Okay, so Jenna and Brianna lose this challenge. And TJ's like, you're lucky it's a guy's elimination. We got a couple questions about this, right. as you might imagine.
Yes, we did.
Judaray Almario, does anyone else think it's BS that Jenna / Brianna didn't go to the elimination round because of some out of left field rule stating that it was a male elimination day? They should have been on their way home since clearly they're the worst team here. Also, I'm assuming no one is watching the bakery or the kids that need to be babysit while they're away filming.
I'm going to save the thoughts on the bakery and the babysitting for later. But I mean, I don't think it's BS. I mean, this was set last week. TJ said clearly it's a girl's elimination. Like, if you just said, all right, you guys are going in and didn't clarify that it's a girl's elimination, then this would be weird. But I mean, he said it's a girl's one, so it would make sense that this week would be a guy's elimination.
Yeah, I do think, and we got a couple comments about this, I do think it should have been reinforced at the beginning. I mean, usually when they have alternating gender weeks, they correct me if I'm wrong, but they say it like this week's a guy's elimination. And because the format was so up in the air, I think they purposely did it because, okay, let's just say they say, all right, it's a guy's elimination. Jenna and Brianna don't do this challenge. If all that's left on the line is to win, they're not participating. Anissa and Rihanna maybe are not participating. You know, like the girls who struggled are just like, you know, fuck it. I'm not going in anyway.
But that just, I think that just answered your question. That's why they didn't specify. Yeah.
But I'm saying it's still, I don't think that's like that. I don't know. Cause the guys didn't have, let's say, enough of a fire under their ass potentially because they, especially the guys who went round two, maybe it was, I don't know that they knew the results, but, I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me. Like the fact that you don't know what's coming and it's not an even playing field. It bothers me. And I won't, like you were saying, it doesn't matter if it's fair or not, right? Like the rules are the rules. It's predetermined. Yeah. And the way the game goes, I mean, if they said tomorrow, if your name begins with A, you're going home, like that's the rule. So fair doesn't count to me. But it just doesn't sit well from like a competition reality show perspective that we don't even know the rules and they don't know the rules.
Right. I mean, all's fair in love, war, and challenges, so they can do whatever they want.
Right. But I just don't like it. I don't like that this is.
And that's our prerogative. But I don't like people saying, oh, it's not fair. They shouldn't. It's not fair that these people go home. It's like this is the game. It's not fair that someone has this partner, but that's just what the game is.
So. No, 100%. I agree with you there. Edwin Morris, do you guys think Kahuta and Jill did better than all the female teams? Spoiler alert, Kahuta and Jill are the losingest team with a guy on it. The worst team with a guy on it.
I mean, they definitely did better than Jenna and Brianna, but there's no bold statement there. I know, but
you killed it.
I would guess they probably did similar. I don't know. I'm sure they did just as well. I'm sure they beat some and lost to some. I honestly have no idea.
I mean, it's almost irrelevant because at the end of the day, if you want to consider, and you were saying this before that like female, male, whatever, but it's basically just a one person team. Like the person sitting in with the snake just has to stay with the snake. So it was just, did Jill do better than Brianna or Anissa or, you know, whomever, and who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like Nani and Nicole really struggled, so I would guess they did better than them. But I don't know.
Who can say? They did worse than Kellyanne and Anthony, who are also up in the bottom two. And from first to worst, first to second worst, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. Kahuta and Jill, this is what one of those like weird challenges where basically it seemed like anyone can win, anyone can lose, and this was a tough break for them.
Arguably, well, not a tougher break, but almost just as tough for Kara, who's now put in a position Well, actually, the whole thing centered around Kara. It didn't seem like Jamie had any say. So Kara and Jamie technically are in a position to either honor Kahuta's wishes and send one of their alliance members or someone they're close to into the pit, or go rogue and make enemies of Dario and Rafi.
I think Kara handled it perfectly. I think the move here is just 100% ask Kahuta, who do you want? And just have that as your excuse for whatever you do. And I think that's the move.
Well, I think what they did is a little bit different. I think they first started, Jamie and Kara were trying to talk Kahuta in to Dario and Rafi being the best option, which was literally insane. Dario and Rafi in no way, shape, or form were the best option for Kahuta. But they were trying to convince him of that for their own interest, which clearly shows that they were more interested in that moment in keeping Thomas safe and keeping the relationship with Thomas and Steven. But I was really shocked to see them like pushing Dario and Rafi on Kahuta, so much to the point that Kahuta even says like, all right, fine, I'll do it, at their insistence. And then I think Kara, you know, makes too sudden a move to go tell Dario and Rafi. Like, she's playing a little bit too emotionally here to like, I want to go break the news to them. It's so hard. Even though I don't know them, why is it so hard? Like, that's, to me, is not a sign of a great game player for the challenge.
No, but I think it's what you do early in the game. I think you try to limit your damage and limit your enemies. And you do that by, when you're in the position of power, let the people who's in decide. And then you just be straight up with the people you're voting in. So, I didn't have a problem with anything that Kara did. I wish she wasn't as, like, wishy-washy when she said the people's name, but that's what everyone does, so I can't even quibble about that. But her going up to them and be like, I'm sorry, you know, this is who Kahuta wanted, and I'm gonna abide by his wishes. I thought that's exactly what she should have done.
Yeah, but it wasn't who Kahuta wanted. Like, I think it was clear to everyone that Kahuta did not want Dario and Rafi. She went in there convincing him of that. And then the only person she has to blame for the fact that Kahuta, quote, changed his mind is herself. Like, that's what I'm saying, is if you're convincing someone to do something that's not in their best interest, let them, like, settle on it. I think she acted a little bit too quickly. She was like, oh, okay, good, I talked you into it. Okay, Dario, Rafi, you're in. And then Kahuta had enough time to renege.
I don't know. I didn't read it as they're really pushing Dario and Rafi that well. I think Kahuta just thought in that moment that he would rather face Dario. I mean, it didn't make sense.
Oh, 100%. No. Kahuta, this like really stuck out to me. Kahuta was like maybe the twins, like either of the twins, and Jamie and Kara go to work talking about Dario and Rafi.
I didn't really like that.
Go back to the tape. They were 100% Dario and Rafi. You could beat them, blah, blah, blah. And that's when Kahuta's like, well, they have like 50 pounds on me. And they're like, they just smoke and party. Thomas and Steve are like doubles tennis champions. Like, that matters.
Yeah. So I love that they brought that up after that's exact thing that we mocked in the preseason. Like, oh, is there more sport that's less important for the challenge than tennis? And like, oh, but they look at them. They're D1 tennis players.
Well, exactly. So, like, that's what I'm saying is, like, they're, and I don't blame them. Like, I don't blame them for looking out for their closest ally. But then I just think stick with him and don't rock the boat. Like, do I think there was like a cardinal flaw here? Do I think that Kara doing anything differently would have changed the ultimate result of Thomas and Steven going in against Kahuta and Jill? No, I don't. I think, though, to avoid the Rafi and Dario drama, I think she should have kept it close to the vest until the last possible moment. And that she left, like, too much room for, like, then Kahuta was able to flip the script on her by saying, okay, well, you know what? Let me help you, and I'll take Thomas and Steven, which is what I want anyway, and you'll be able to smooth things over with Dario and Rafi. And Dario and Rafi, like, by saying, I'm going to put you in, no, just kidding, I'm not, does not redeem you. Like, you kept them safe. It's still like, okay, well, they were going to put us in and they may again. So she made enemies out of them and risked making enemies out of Thomas and Steve, which, you know, remains to be seen. They seem to have taken it pretty well.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, ideally, you go with the person that you want to say first. You don't even put yourself in a position to switch it. I wonder, though, how much time there really was between when she told Dario that they're going to be voted in and then, like, how to switches and then.
You can see the sun starts going
I'm
down.
I'm curious if there was like a large gap of time or if it was really that close. I would like to get more clarity
I just think you don't want to be in a position where you're telling more than one pair they're going in. And that's what that's a mistake.
Yeah, definitely. That's true.
And at that point, maybe you don't honor Kahuna's wishes. If he reneges, even though you convinced him, then don't double back because you've already done the damage.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, it's a little bit of a half measure. But the problem is, let's say that you stick to your original plan. Now you're guaranteed to make an enemy out of whoever comes out of that elimination. Because now Dario's 100% going to be pissed at you. And if Kahuna wins, he's going to be pissed at you because you didn't go with his wishes. So,
yeah, but just as we talked about Kahuna before, and Kahuna even framed it, I mean, it was weak on Kahuna's part to let him get knocked around by them. But he was like, look, either let me pick. That's why he comes back to them. Either let me pick who I want to pick, or tell me you're not going to let me pick who I want to pick, and that's fine. Pick who you want to pick. Because I think he knew he got pressured into Dario and Rafi.
Yeah.
And at that point, I do think Kara could have said, you know, I misunderstood. I thought you wanted Dario and Rafi. You had said that. I'm sorry if you felt pressured into it. I didn't mean that. You know, whatever, double backing with Kahuna. But I can't, for my own game and for your game, because we're allies, take it back now, because the damage is already done and I'd be hurting two relationships. And I think you can do it. I said, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think that Kahuna would have ultimately had a grudge against her. Now, if you want to say Dario and Rafi were 100% beating Kahuna, that's an argument to be made. And so they're just making an enemy with no chance of their ally coming back. But I don't know. Ultimately, it wasn't a great situation either way, because I want to ask you, do you think there was anyone that Kahuna could have beaten in this challenge in the house?
I don't think so. I'm trying to do a quick run through of the people. I don't see anyone. No, I think you'd have lost everyone.
Even before the challenge, I was like, who does Kahuna even want? Because no one's a slam dunk. No one's a quote layup.
Yeah, I think the best person he would want would be Thomas.
No, I 100% agree that this was the pair. And I don't think in any way
maybe Mitch,
he would want
Dario. That wouldn't have been a snare because Corey would have been in. So,
well, that's the problem, is I thought the same thing, is you can't guarantee maybe Shane, right? But Tony's going to come in for that.
Exactly. Yeah, Tony would have done it. Yeah, exactly.
So Kara tweeted, I wanted to vote Tony, but we gave Kahuna who he felt he had a best chance against, even if he changed his mind last minute. I don't know. I don't understand that tweet at all. But unless maybe Kahuna offered Dara and Rafi and Steven and Thomas as the two. And so Kara picked the best of two, you know, evils. But what do you think if they had thrown Tony in?
In terms of if Kahuna had a chance or just as gameplay?
Both. Maybe not if Kahuna had a chance, because I think you just said that, but
yeah.
Gameplay.
I was surprised that Tony wasn't more of a thought to be thrown in, because I thought maybe sometimes they wanted to get rid of the drama in the house, but I don't know. Maybe Tony's more all of a sudden liked in the house, or maybe Shane is liked in the house, and maybe that's why they didn't think to throw him in, because I mean Tony's a rookie, so they could have been an option.
Well, I think what she's saying is she wanted to put in Tony, but Kahuna was like, I don't want to go against him. So it wasn't like they weren't thinking to put them in because of anything Shane and Tony were doing. It was just like Tony's athletic ability intimidating Kahuna.
Yeah,
I think game wise I think Shane and Tony would probably be pretty vindictive. I think they might play the role of like, oh, you're a vet, we respect you, we're gonna prove ourselves. But I think ultimately it ended up pretty nicely that Thomas and Steven don't appear to be holding any sort of grudge against Kara.
Yeah, it worked out. It worked out even before the challenge. Thomas said, all right, we're good, even before elimination. So Kara was off the hook immediately.
Rocky Solis on Twitter tweeted to us, what's your take on Dario and Raf so far? I think they have a great TV presence. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they've been pretty strong. I think only one of them is probably going to be able to survive, in terms of coming back, just because they're, the same person. So, I don't see a scenario where really they're both on the same season again. And my guess is they would always just lean toward the person who's on Are You the One? So I think Dario is probably going to be the one who has a good chance to come back. And I think he's going to be the Are You the One guy who sticks.
I mean, Dario's already the one hooking up, right? So, if there's an exes, he's put himself in contention. You know, he's I could not, because they were wearing a hat. Who was, it was Dario who was the one giving Kara a mouthful, like an earful. So he's already the one causing more hookups, causing more drama. And he was on Are You the One? Like, I think he's bringing more than Rafi. They were really annoying me in this scene. Like, they were completely handling this the wrong way. Like, they can be mad, fine, but it's not the way to just, like, threaten yourself out. Like, threaten Kara, who is a better competitor than you, with more connections than you. It's very much like when Tony was telling Nani and Nicole to, like, watch themselves. It's like, who are you? What are you adding here?
I think it's almost like the new rookie waves. When you come in, you always, they seem to be trying to like make waves and make a splash. And I mean, that's just who, it seems like that's who Dario and Rafi are. They're not to themselves. They're very confident. They're outlandish. So they're going to speak their mind and they're going to come right back at you.
Yeah, I thought that was, I'm trying to like arrange my notes here. Yeah, I thought that was fine when they first hear it. It wasn't the best way to play it strategically if you want to have any sort of relationship with Kara. But what bothered me is when Kara ultimately doesn't pick them, his reaction is very much like, yeah, that's right. Like, you better not. And I'm like, all right, you just got lucky. So chill out.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I love Nani here, like talking about Thomas, like shocked that Kara sent Thomas in, because they're really good friends, aka they hook up on the Lolo.
I just, to me though, that's like, you know, Nani had this whole thing about last week's like, oh, I don't want to be thought of as the whore, and now she's like throwing around in Kara, like, oh, look at her hooking up with someone but still throwing them in. Like to me, Nani, if you don't want to take it, don't also give it.
I think that's fair. But what else does Nani have, right, if she's not going to just be judgmental around the house? If she's not going to hook up and she's not going to provide good commentary, why is she here?
It's a good question. And then that's torch passing, I think.
And then just when we're in the thick of this, we get another party. Whoop, whoop.
Yes, back to the club. So I'm guessing that they have the one club that they go to, and this is going to be the place we go to every night, right?
I don't know much about the club scene in Turkey, I gotta be honest with you.
Neither do I, but
it's my one weak spot in international clubbing.
Well, why are you even here if you can't bring the club information on Turkey?
Speaking of why are you even here, Brianna is a complete wet blanket at the club.
She wants to go home. She wants to go home. And as Nisa says, she's not even cute.
Yeah, Nisa starts stirring the pot with Jenna. Another great role for Nisa here. Notice at both club fights, Anissa is at the center of it, stirring the pot. Just shout out to my girl, oldie but goodie.
Yeah, you know what? Shout out to her. She's had a very good first week. She was definitely in a lot of stuff. This week, she helped pour gas in the fire. So Anissa's had a good couple weeks.
So I wonder, do you think Brianna is worse as a partner than Jay was to Jenna?
Yes, I think, because at least Jay had some moments, and at least Jay was like hooking up with John A. So he had that like quote unquote connection. So he had bringing something. It seems like no one likes Brianna. So, and neither does Jenna. So she's bringing nothing to the table.
Yeah, I mean, Brianna is way worse than Jay, in my opinion, just as a partner. I mean, the fact that every day she has to worry about Brianna wanting to go home, not even in the face of the challenges, but just like in the face of being out socially, like, forget it, leave that girl at home.
Yeah, and she would, it seems like she would gladly stay there.
I'm missing my brother's graduation. Like, oh my god. Okay, kill me.
And graduations suck. Like, they're so boring.
Graduation from what, too?
It's gotta like, be high school, I would think.
After what we learned about their families, it could be anything.
Yeah, there's so much greatness that was thrown around in this argument. Oh my god.
So yeah, so we start with Jenna comes out swinging with, you can go back to your fake Spanish ass boyfriend who cheats on you all the time. Now, is she saying the boyfriend is a fake guy, or that he's not really Spanish?
I think that he's a fake guy.
It's still unclear.
No, it's definitely unclear.
It remains to be seen.
And who is Jenna to be saying to someone else that your boyfriend cheats on you all the time?
Well, she has upgraded to our knowledge.
Sure, but she was in this exact scenario the last time she was on the show.
Which, if anything, gives her the ability to be able to say it.
But it's not, it shouldn't give her the ability to mock someone. Because, like, you lived through this.
Well, we can assume that Jenna and Brianna have had sober conversations about this boyfriend. I mean, she says in the beginning, I don't like her boyfriend, and Brianna knows that. Anyway, I think Brianna hit everyone's nerve in the house, and once Brianna is already dragging down Jenna's game, and now Jenna overhears her, like, talking shit, forget it. Like, going for the jugular, and it's just jab, jab, jab.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think they had so much stuff pumped up over the years, and I think Jenna wanted to explode on her every time she, like, hooked up with an ex-boyfriend, and she finally just has the confidence now to do it at this moment.
People were excited for the Ronda Rousey, you know, home fight. Forget it. This was, you know, verbal MMA like I've never seen.
The background shots of everyone was almost as good as the comments themselves, because the comments were just so good, nothing was going to top that. But the background shots were even, like, were so perfect.
And then yet again, now that you've pointed it out, Nani and Nicole breaking it up again.
What is up with them? Why are they the voices of reason? Like, they should be causing more problems, not trying to separate people.
Well, this was the worst read, I thought, for me. Like the library is open, to borrow from RuPaul, and Brianna just reads Jenna for filth in a confessional, which is worse because, like, this is out of the moment, right? Like, this is, she's had, whether it's the same day or it's a year later, like, she's had a second to get out of this anger, and she says, we're on two different playing fields. I'm trying to get my career together. She doesn't go to school. She doesn't have a set job. All she does is babysit. My God. Read.
And nothing says trying to get your career together like going on the challenge.
Well, totally agree. But it is hard because I think some of them are like, all right, I'll go on free. Like, it's unclear. Like, you know, it's like Kahuta's like, or Leroy's like, I have to bring the money home or her dad's going to kill me or whatever. Like, this Bloodlines thing is weird. Like, Brianna's like, I want to leave, but if I leave, then I take this away from Jenna, so I have to stay. Like, it does introduce, like, what were your motives? Like, did Jenna beg you to come? Did you want to come? You know, who knows?
And, like, I'm still just confused why they're even sort of friends after everything they've been through.
Honestly, like, they need to get emancipated. Do you do that as cousins, as adult cousins?
Yeah, I mean, they should not be in the same room together anymore.
So Jenna just unleashes and is like, she thinks she's better than all of us. She thinks you're all degenerates and losers. She told me this.
Probably true.
Well, and then Brianna backs it up, because then in another room, she's saying, I'm smarter than her. Blood doesn't mean anything. Or, I'm sorry, she says, blood does not mean nothing.
So it means everything.
She's so smart, it doesn't mean nothing. And she wants to go home to her real family, to which Jenna comes in. Are you kidding me? I love that scene.
And then, I mean, then I think she unleashed like the three or four best comments this challenge has heard in years,
which I will say, after Jenna says, oh, congratulations, you have a job at the bakery, if my dad owned something and wasn't in jail. My TV went out. I'm not even kidding you. So I was watching this at 2 a.m. last night, and I guess that's, like, not a normal time to be watching TV. And, like, my DVR reset for, like, a mandatory 15-minute, like, update. Not everyone's asleep, Verizon Fios, when they should be, okay?
Oh, my God.
But don't worry, I got back in right with, yeah, I'd have a set job if my dad wasn't in jail.
What do you think her dad's in jail for?
So many questions. What the hell is he in jail for? I mean, white collar crime? I don't know.
And if they're that close,
what could he be into, drug dealing? I don't know. What do people even go to jail for? I don't think it's murder.
And how are they cousins again? Are their dads brothers? Because that would add a whole new dynamic to this.
I only remember the papaws.
Okay.
That Kahuta and Jill's papaws are brothers.
Right. That's totally fair. Everyone remember the papaw.
Are the papaws in jail?
No, they're definitely still alive and kicking on their farm.
Save the papaws.
Yeah, they're preparing for the wedding.
All right. We have a question from Kristen Kinnar. Brian, would you rather date a girl with short hair or one that works at her dad's bakery?
This is a great question, but the problem is it's just such an easy answer. Because, first of all, I don't think short hair on a girl is even that great of a look anyway, so that makes it easier. But dating a girl who works at a bakery is like a great appeal option. you get black and white cookies, cake, you get all these assortment options for free all the time. So having a girlfriend who works at the bakery is like a plus, not a negative.
So you're picking, you know, the devil you know, Brianna, rather than what's behind door number two. And all we know about her is that she has short hair and the same tasting guys as Brianna.
I'm picking Brianna, 100%. Yeah.
Where do we go from here with this fight and the two of them?
Can we mention the fact that the boyfriend gets her ice cream every other day? And is it potentially possible that the boyfriend is T-Boogie?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, is it like Austin, like from the ice cream date? I'm not the one. Yeah, anything's possible, for one. I think, I don't even see how that's a diss. Like, if my boyfriend took me to get ice cream every day, like, wedding ring, thank you.
I guess because it's only every other day, not every day. That's a problem.
Oh, damn. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm breaking that off now.
Maybe that's why he's fake. Maybe real people get ice cream every day.
Yeah, I don't know. Then Brianna tweeted something like, he actually took me to get ice cream today. Ha ha. And it's just like, don't own this, because this is pretty disgusting, this whole fight with your cousin.
It's atrocious. Like, that's why these two, like, it has to be the end of their relationship. Like, this is a relationship ending fight. When they look back on Sion, the type of stuff they said to each other, like, there should be no coming back. And it might put a strain between the two families as well.
Well, it seems like this is not new ground for them. I mean, this is not worse than when she says she's like dating someone that Jenna like loved just to get Jenna pissed at her. I mean, it seems like they've on the after show, she says, like, I just wanted to do something that would make Jenna never talk to me again. And I think they've had these like immature knockdown drag out fights where you feel like, oh, I hate them so much that I want to just do anything and I'll never speak to them again. But, you know, OK, if Jenna's dad's in jail, I'm assuming that, you know, that makes it difficult for her. And so her family may be tighter with extended family. And maybe it's just kind of like, we don't get along, but we're all we have kind of thing. I mean, Brianna wakes up and tries to play like she doesn't remember what happened.
I mean, I think there's a very good chance she doesn't remember what happened. But that just goes to show, like, this stuff has been pent up for so long that it just needed to come out.
See, I think she knows exactly what happened because she isn't like, what happened? She's like, I'm sorry for whatever I said.
I think that's even more of a show that she doesn't know what to apologize for. She's like, I know I said horrible things, but I'm sorry.
No, but the fact that she doesn't want to know what it is, to me, shows that she knows what it is. Like, she's not like, oh, what did I say? I want to apologize. I want to know what I did. Let's talk about it. She's like, let's move swiftly on, pretend it never happened, and I'm just going to plead ignorance.
I mean, how many times did you watch that argument? Just once? Am I weird that I watched it like 5 or 6 times?
You're not weird. Given more time, I would have watched it again. Okay. I was too busy watching Keith's speech on Survivor.
That was all. There were a couple doozies last night. Whew. What a night.
Did you get anything out of it on the rewatch of this fight? Anything more?
I cracked up laughing every single time she said, if my dad wasn't in jail, I would have a job. Like, every time on kill.
Aww. I thought that was more sad.
It's so great. Because then you see, like, Bananas and Leroy in the background, like, thinking, like, who the hell are these people? What are they talking about right now?
Well, that's what's incredible, is that Brianna has the thing of, like, I'm getting my career on track, blah, blah, blah. And then it, like, comes out that she just, like, works at her dad's bakery, which is fine. But, like, you're not building a career. You're, like, working at your dad's bakery. Maybe one day you'll own that bakery, but you're not building up to anything.
She's a family business, I guess. Yeah, but I still don't get why Jenna can't also work at the bakery. Like, it's a family amazing. Business. She's in the family. Why can't she work there?
And it also, like, that's an amazing point. It all, maybe it's their attentions. Maybe it's the moms or sisters, and the dad who owns the bakery wants nothing to do with
that's the, true. The and other I'm telling dad's you, this is the type of thing where if the two parents see what they said to each other, like, Thanksgiving is hella awkward between these people.
Yeah, we need, like, who do you think you are to come in here and, like, give us the whole rundown of their family
yeah,
tree.
Yeah, there's still, I needed to see, like, their parents watching this. I wish we had a live stream of that happening.
One thing I want to get into a little bit on the way to the elimination here, moving off of Jen and Brianna, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
I normally always say, and this is not an original point of view, I'm just, everyone normally says that, like, the editing is on MTV is always the opposite of what you think. So if they show that someone's going to win, they're going to lose.
Like Thomas saying that he feels super confident about not being voted in and then 10 seconds later being voted in.
That 100% great example. But in terms of these challenges, this was the first time where I feel like that wasn't the case. I mean, we get this very weird scene of Steven and Thomas looking down over Kahuta, saying they're glad it's him. And Kahuta is saying like, oh, I can't underestimate anyone. So like, I really did think Kahuta was going to win here, even just based on the editing.
Because it seemed like he was going to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah, I kind of thought that too. But maybe it was the type of thing where they just didn't get any bites of Steven or Thomas being like, I'm really scared about Kahuta here. He's the veteran. Like, I'm worried about it. Like, maybe they were just so overly confident. And it just happened to play out.
I don't know. I think they can get bites of anything. Like, you're nervous about going into the pit. Are you nervous about your brother? Like, your brother's on your back. Like, I just think that that wouldn't be hard to get. I don't think Thomas is the guy who's never going to say I'm nervous.
I think it's a good thing, though, that they had to play out this way. So that way it does keep us now guessing in the future for the next time someone looks pretty confident or looks like it's going to be a win. So I think
I agree completely. I liked the way that this was set up. I mean, Kahuta's like, oh, it's always the David and Goliath thing with me. And it's like they're really building him up to be this huge underdog. And then he just still goes down.
He put up a good fight, though. He definitely did.
Oh, I 100% believe this challenge was like very similar to Hall Brawl, where it's just like you're running in the same direction. It's not the same. I mean, it's like adds a little nuance to it, but just in general, it's just like brute force.
I would say this one, I think he had a better chance of winning this one than the other one, just on the off chance he could like get the ball first. But I mean, so just setting up. So the challenge is squaring off and people, they were each on opposite sides. It's a small little maze. There's a ball in the center of it or somewhere in the middle of it. Run across to find the maze, find the ball, and you got to bring it across to your rope.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised because the one thing that Kahuta has is speed, agility. So it's like pretty bad that he's playing defense on both of his runs. But I also do think that if Kahuta had gotten the ball first, Thomas would have been able to like throw him around better, pound for pound.
It seemed that way. Like, I know he like held his own, but it seemed like at any time Thomas needed to like move and make a move, like he was able to do it.
Judere Almario wants to know, given the results of the elimination round, did Thomas earn his stripes?
No, get out of here. One elimination win is earning stripes? What is this nonsense?
I mean, and I was happy to see that your, you know, prophecy was correct. Not prophecy, but your prediction was correct. That TJ does not give out any you killed it's this week. If anything, I do think Kahuta did kill it. I mean, he didn't win, but he exerted like more effort than potentially anyone. Like, one thing, Kahuta doesn't have size, but he does have heart. And Kahuta like really, really tried here both times out.
What did you make of the fact that when TJ said goodbye, he just said like, it was good seeing you. Like, he didn't say, we'll see you in the future or whatever. He just said like, take care.
They got a take care. I wrote, they got a take care, period. Wow. In all caps.
Like, Christina and Emily get a, well, I hope to see you in the future. And Kahuta is just like, peace.
Speaking of which, we do have to correct ourselves. This is a spoiler on the cast, so fast forward for like a second. Christina will be on the next season of the challenge. So I will give myself credit for at least giving her 0.001%.
I hope everyone doesn't take my 0% bets to the bank.
So this pisses me off because we get the exact same close to this episode pretty much as the last episode, that they're going to be switching up teams.
We get a little bit more, a little bit.
Well, we don't get it till the after show.
Well, no, we get the fact that Kara and Jamie are the ones picking it.
I thought that was... you're right. I guess I wrote that down. My notes are all out of order. But really quick, before we get to that, Camilla is the perfect person to go to for a reaction here. I still maintain that they're like the closest bloodlines here. And Camilla is just like, you're telling me I have to go against my own sister? Like, what is going on? She has like the reaction that MTV wants everyone to have, and it's, that no one else is having.
Yeah, and I mean, she's done so many of these. Why is she so shocked by any twist that happens? It's like, are you that surprised that in a season where they're bringing on people you're related to, that at some point you're going to have to go against them, Camilla?
I just think she's so attached to her sister that that's the thing, is like her bloodline is trumping her gameplay.
Right.
But yeah, so questions, you brought up that it looks like it will be a draft, which was not what we predicted.
No, and super Jamie excited for.
And Kara will be the captain. So Alex Pandemaran wants to know, during the after show, they showed a sneak peek showing how the pairs would be divided into teams. Do you think this method will lead to an interesting season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think teams is the way to go for sure. Now, but a quick question on that. How exactly do you think this draft is going to go? In terms of like, do they have to pick opposite bloodlines? Like,
I think they have to pick opposite gender. I don't think you can control for bloodlines and TJ is going to say you have to pick a bloodline who's a guy. You think it's going to be like that?
I think it's going to be when you make a pick, the bloodline is going to go to the opposite team. I think they want each bloodline to be on the opposite team.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So then it really comes even more strategic. And now it's like you want someone like Leroy on your team because that you have like the better bloodline, because that way you're sticking Candace on the other team.
I think it makes sense, but I don't like it as a draft then. I'd rather them be able to draft just gender and let the chips fall where they may.
I think
I don't think you're getting any advantage. Like this is the thing. What you're saying is probably the only thing that makes sense, right? Like you want to have an even disbursement because they're both still going
to
go home.
That's the thing. Because they're both going home, you need to have basically one person from each team going home each week.
Unless you're considering that when you have to vote someone in, like you could potentially take two people out or potentially take a weak person off your team. You know, that's not what it's going to be. I think what you're saying makes more sense, but I just don't like that's going to be like a very quick draft. two by two.
Yeah, it's going to be like, so what? There's 12 teams left. There's basically five
Six picks
then.
Yeah, five picks.
Yeah. Well, because one of them already captain, so it'd be five
picks. And then picks. One's by default.
Yeah, so it's four picks.
That's pretty lame.
That's going to be super quick.
And then the other interesting thing, so Colin Stone asked, who do you think are the first picks for each gender? And I think it's tough because the bloodlines, the pairs, well, let's just be more specific. Kara and Jamie, you would think, have the same allies, and you want allies on your own team. But because you don't know how the voting works, you also want allies on the opposite team. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of factors to consider. The other thing is do you think that Kara and Jamie are going to pick every couple or every person? Or do you think the person picked will pick the next person?
I'm going to say that Kara and Jamie pick each person.
How do you think that factors out? Do you think they feel like they take a leadership role in the team then? Like sometimes that happens on reality shows.
Yeah.
Where it's like, arbitrary picks become the captain.
No, I think the dominant personality will take hold. Like, I don't see Leroy bowing down to Jamie if the situation comes hold. I mean, I think Kara might be like a leader on her team just because that's just who she is. I think she would be a leader regardless.
All right, so I'm sorry, Colin. Back to Colin Stone's question. Who do you think are going to be each of their first picks?
I would say the first guy pick would it's tough. I mean, I don't think there's like a real dominant first guy, like in terms of like an athlete. Like there's no like C tier Zach that's like, all right, they're 100% gonna be the first pick. So I would say, I guess Bananas, but I mean, I don't feel confident about that at all.
I don't feel confident about that because I don't think there's a chance in hell Kara is gonna pick Bananas, but even if she or as like the first pick, I just don't think she wants to feed his ego.
I don't think she's gonna be thinking about that. I think she wants to win.
But what if your team votes you in? If your team loses, does she want Bananas on her team?
I feel like she would want it because I think she trusts herself to be with him than her cousin.
Interesting point. We shall see. I was going to say because I was just thinking allies, right? That Jamie would maybe pick Kellyanne. They seem to have something going on. And then I think Kara would pick Thomas right away based on stupid reasons. I think she's already shown herself to be stupid with him.
Right. But what's interesting is because let's say they are doing that. If you pick a person, your bloodline's on the opposite team, like, as you said, Kara and Jamie probably have the same allies. So that means they're both the bloodlines are probably both their allies too. So no matter what, what they're going to be on each other's teams.
Right. Well, in that case, actually, probably not. I mean, like, yes, Steve, we don't know any, like, a sexual relationship, right, doesn't necessarily mean that your allies are shared. So, like, Anise and Corey and Mitch and Rihanna are close because they've all have that shared. But we don't know that Rafi gives two shakes about Kellyanne and Anthony and Dario. You know, they may not want to upset their bloodline, but that's kind of what we talked about going into this season. Are the bloodlines going to honor the relationships that the quote-unquote vets, not all of them vets, but the reality show vets have? And so in that case, you know, that's not an alliance they built together, presumably. That's more just Thomas and Kara.
Are you glad that they're mixing up challengers and bloodlines, and it's not just going to be a straight challengers on one team, bloodlines on another?
No, because I definitely did my drafts under the assumption that they would be against each other. And also because I really wanted to see the bloodlines having the autonomy on their team, like having the ability to make their own decisions, obviously not independent of their bloodlines, but to see who kind of rises to the top. Mm-hmm. And now that will be mixed up, I think it's interesting. I'm not mad at it. I think it will. We still don't know enough information for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I like seeing them mixed up. I think it adds a new thing. That's why whenever they do the fans' favorites, I wish they don't start it as fans versus favorites. I wish it was kind of just clustered and mixed up, because I think it gives them a good opportunity to kind of put themselves within the challengers and create alliances within them. That helps them, I think, for later seasons when they come back. So I like that they're mixed up together.
Yeah, but they never have a fans versus favorites for a favorites to duo. I mean, for fans to duo. So that's what, you know, right, goes against that. But yeah, no, I like your optimism.
I am, because I like this group of people a lot. Like, I think I like Ahad and Jill, but I mean, to be perfectly honest, they're not really adding that much to begin with. And I'm sure, like, Christina had like a fun first episode, but she probably would have faded into the background anyway. So I think the group of 12 teams that we have right now, I think are very strong and compelling people. So I'm very optimistic for the stretch run. Not the stretch run, just the rest of the season.
Oh, no, I think the season's going to be great. I think I disagree with you. I think Christina was a big loss. I think Kahuta is fine, especially because we saw a lot of Kahuta the first two episodes. I mean, I think Jill would have been a good competitor, but I agree that we're not hurt by losing them. I think Christina would have been everything you're saying about Tony, like times 10, because she would have been there continuing to instigate.
Fair. Yeah, he did.
Not instigate that she started it, but be a point of drama.
Just herself being there as an instigator for Tony.
Right. So, Sebastian Raich, is it possible that CT, Zach, and Abram will compete against each other to replace Tony and Shane? Is that fan fiction? Tony looked really sick in the trailer for next week.
That would be wild. But then Abram wins? Like, that would be crazy. I wouldn't say that Abram would win. I'm so curious what CT and Zach are going to be doing there.
I don't think there's any chance of that, because it seems like even the fantasizer draft, like, had include, and some of the cast lists included Abram and his brother. So that's what's so confusing. I never thought it would be week 3 and we still wouldn't have them in, considering they've been like part of the cast on many websites.
And it's killing me in my league, because we did it differently. We had Abram and Michael be drafted as people, and I drafted Abram, and he's putting me goose egg so far.
Yeah, I actually do think we did that right, is by just having whoever they replace just get slotted in. So. But I guess it's something to think about, right? Like, if you pick them, you know that they may not be coming in for a while.
Right. I really hope that Thomas is still there when Abram shows up. Like, I'd be super disappointed if he's not.
The previews make it seem like he will be, but okay. Who knows?
Who knows with the previews? Who knows?
See, and then the other reason this isn't happening is because it's pretty much confirmed that CT is only there for 1 week engagement, and he's there with DM's sister, so I don't think he's competing to fill a spot of a guy team.
I'm just so curious what they're there for, though.
Very confusing. Emily Zitterkopf, is it unfair to the first two eliminated teams that the format changed after only 2 weeks? Should they have started out with teams and made a switch later on, as it seems like there is going to be at least one more twist? Is a twist this early overkill?
It's not unfair. It's, I mean, that's, as I said, that's the game. Like, it's not unfair when you get voted out the week before an early merge in Survivor. That's just the way the game is.
And, you know, we addressed that. Yeah. So do you think that they should have made the switch later on? Is it too much this soon?
No, I wish they almost started the season with it. So as quickly as possible, they can get to the switch. I'm perfectly fine with.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's kind of, it's, I don't know that essentially what she's saying, but I don't think there should have been a twist this soon. I think it should have been just the two teams.
And are we sure there's another twist going on? I'd be pretty sure is that the final is going to be run in pairs, but do you think they're going to be split up amongst the teams before that?
I don't know what to even make of this, because I just like still can't understand how we don't know about how they get voted in. Like, I can't wrap my head around the fact that we have no information. I don't think it's going to go back. It's going to switch again until, like you said, the final would be run in pairs, but who knows? I mean, who knows with the way that this has started out? This is one of the most confusing formats of a reality show I've ever watched.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was funny is just Steven tweeted, "I was just happy I didn't have to go against Jill. I probably would have lost." And Jill wrote, "It would have been a toss-up." In an alternate universe, Steven versus Jill.
I think Jill would have given a fight, but I think Steven would win.
I don't know. Jill's got those arms.
I do wish we would have got to see Jill in like a true elimination.
Yeah, we lost Jill too soon in terms from like an athletic perspective.
Yeah, I wish they were in the first week's elimination.
Daniel West Coast on Twitter wants to know something I've always wanted to ask was, have you ever applied or thought about applying for any reality show? So this is just for us.
I actually did apply for Survivor once, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh my God, where is that video?
It's buried in the annals of my life that it will not come out.
Plainview Sue, where's the video?
But I'm so glad I did not get on, because I would have probably quit after like 4 days and been mocked by everyone, because I don't know what I was thinking. I would not be able to do it. And
what is your video? What was it about?
It was,
just give us something. We need something.
So I had I don't know if this is how it always is now, but I got to do like a 60-second video. And I just had it where I had the taping me, but I was like looking off in the distance, pretending like the camera wasn't on me or that I didn't know it was on. And I was just listing the qualifications about why I was so good. And then I ended with like, oh, is this thing on? And then I sent it.
Oh my God.
It's so bad.
Please release this tape.
It's so bad.
Please release this tape.
Survivor did a good job at calling me in for a second audition.
Short answer, hell no. I've never thought about or applied to any reality show. It's, I don't think, just no. I think it's great to watch. I would never, it doesn't fit in with my aspirations, and I get very weird in front of the camera.
This is why this is not a video podcast.
I'd be fine in this. It's just like one time the Big Ten Network came to Northwestern for homecoming, and they like put the camera in front of me, and I just completely froze, like the big real like television camera. I was like, and then literally I was like, and then afterwards I was like, that's not going to be anywhere, right? He's like, no, we'll cut that out. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Mia Pia, have you noticed that Tony says something sexist each episode? First, the comment about typical women behavior being emotional, and then this episode telling Kara to leave the punching to the men. I'm sick of him already.
So shout out to Kara for slipping and falling while punching. That was very funny. Yeah, I mean, this is Tony. He's a lunatic, delusional, sexist pig, but this is why he's great.
See, I'm going to leave my answer to Anna Jose, who said maybe, but Bananas has been doing it almost every episode for years, so I'll give Tony a break. And the reality is these first two episodes have really struck me as like the first episode, Bananas is like, the women run up the hill like there's a shoe sale at the top. It's just like, the women run up the hill like they're competing in the challenge, you asshole. And it's just like, there's so many eye roll. The punching thing was the line that I didn't bother writing down because I just rolled my eyes.
Like the one where he said, I've seen these girls wake up in the morning so nothing could scare me. That one too.
It's just like this whole two episodes has just been peppered with remark after remark as though it's supposed to be like the funny parts. And it's like actually just really sad. Like, get funnier. Like, if you're funny, like Bananas is a funny guy, like be better than this. You know, Tony genuinely means it. I know Bananas is just like making jokes because he wants airtime, but like raise your game. I just think it's like low-hanging fruit.
It's gonna be super hard to top that any funnier moment than the Jen and Brianna fight for the rest of the season, though.
Well, that was genuine. That wasn't just like confessional jokes.
Right.
Anything on the after show? Or anything else here? I have some more questions on the after
show. The fact that Brianna started hooking up with Jenna's exes when she was 14 was kind of jarring. seems like an early start kinda. To be doing that stuff.
And then we also got some information on Kahana and Nani, but it was different than the first bit of information we got this season, where it seemed more like Kahana was more into her. Grace Crowley, sorry, I'm like mid-yawn. I'm trying to fight it off. Please don't have already started the podcast. Don't worry, we didn't, Grace. Based on that after show, Kahana is still 100% in love with Nani, right?
I didn't get that vibe. Am I just a clueless guy? Like, I didn't get that vibe.
Well, I think what happened here, it was like awesome role reversal for Nani, whereas in the show, Kahana's like, I broke her heart. And Nani is like, yeah, what the hell, Kahana, kind of thing. Like, and they're still flirting. Here, Nani has a new boyfriend, which I don't know who that is, if it's someone from the show or not. I don't know if you know.
I don't know. So that means it's definitely not someone from the show.
Okay. I don't know if that's like weird on you or if that's.
Oh, it's definitely weird on me, but that's fine.
So, and Kahana is the one who's like, no, we had like a great chemistry. We had a great connection. It was all a very physical relationship, like whatever. And Nani is like, not about it. She's like downplaying the connection, which is so sweet. It's just like, this is what you want. If guy breaks up with you and you're still into him, you want him on national television saying you still have a connection. And you're like, nah, we're friends. We're friends. Like, that was so satisfying on Nani's behalf. I was a little annoyed that Nani wouldn't go into it more. Like, she was basically denying that there was ever anything between them. But I still respected the play.
She's not, even in all of, like, the after shows arena, she's never really big on delving into, like, relationship stuff that she's involved in. She's always tried to do short answers and shy away from it. She's not a big, like, interview person. I know, because I've tried to get her to do an interview and she never does one.
But we've seen her here. She's on Missouri Hall. So no,
well, that's because she's
we're no press.
We're not paying her.
Missouri Hall. So excited that she was back. Mm-hmm. Alex. Oh, shoot. He told me. OK, I think it's Al-Sasid. OK, he corrected me and I wanted to remember that. How come we got zero scenes of Kahana's relationship with Kellyanne, but we got a bunch of Nani confessionals about their relationship?
Because most people probably don't even know that Kahana and Kellyanne dated.
Fair enough. I think, yeah, that's old news. They've been on before and it wasn't a story anymore.
It was Nani a billion years ago in Challenge World.
Right. And just they don't have any issues between them anymore.
Right.
I'm trying to look if I have anything else. Oh, this is funny. Candace tweeted, I want to try being on Are You the One or The Real World. I wonder if they would let me be the first to backtrack and then come back for a challenge. And Ryan said they were still casting season 4. What do you think about this idea?
I actually really like that idea. I would like to see one of them on Are You the One. That'd be kind of cool.
I totally agree. I think that's actually a great idea to have some of these newbies kind of go back and like they have people on Big Brother onto Survivor and Survivor on The Amazing Race. Like there should be some exchange and not just a feeder to the challenge.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea.
Couple Twitter updates, just that Tony finally woke up and decided not to be in hiding. And he wrote with musical note emojis, is it too late now to say sorry?
Probably.
Short answer, yes.
Any word on if Madison has had a kid or she's still pregnant?
I think she's still pregnant. I follow her on Twitter. One thing is like her and Shane have been like tweeting each other or like pictures of each other. So they're still close. So she must have some relationship with Tony still because she's pregnant with his child.
Speaking of pregnancy, Teresa just had her kid. Shout out to her.
Mazel tov. Easton, is that the name?
The name of the kid?
Is it the last name? Something about that.
The person she's with is a wide receiver in the Lions, TJ Jones.
Yeah, but all of her tweets were something about Easton. I think the baby's name. Maybe that's the name. Jay, who you don't get to see, so it's your daily Jay, Phil.
Thank you. I need it weekly.
He wrote, sorry, he wrote yesterday, my third ex-girl is officially on TV. WTF. I'm like, good luck, Chuck. Sleep with me, and a few years later, you on TV. Who are the three girls? Jenna? Is he counting Gina Marie from Big Brother? Because she was on TV before they were together, no?
I think, does this now confirm that he definitely hooked up with Brianna at some point?
I mean, give us more information, man.
Yeah, who else? I mean, did he hook up with anyone from Are You the One? I'm sure he's probably dabbled in that world.
But isn't that backwards?
Well, maybe like he hooked up with her and then they went on Are You the One?
Right, like the Pratt technique.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like anyone who has more information on that. This is the first time I've ever wanted more information on Jay, but I would like to know some more information there.
Give it to us.
But I don't have it. I'm going back to the tweet to see. People wrote, who is it? But they didn't respond.
Womp womp.
And that's all I have for you at 10 to midnight, which is when we're recording.
It is super late. I'm ready to pass out. So let's wrap things up. Episode 2 in the books. Super excited for the draft next week. And that'll be episode 3.
You didn't recap the draft standings.
Oh, that's right. Can I get some just quickly pulling up the thing music? Play like a Camilla drop quickly.
Tell me more. Tell me more. Did he have a car? Tell me more. Tell me more.
You know, when your computer, you really need to go fast Jafar? And it's starting to go really slow. That's exactly what's happening right now.
Okay, well, I'll just say some things. I think you had a little math problem, but you have to explain to me how your blog works.
Go ahead.
Because you said, like, they got 15 points each, but then the total was, like, 20 points a person.
Yeah, because everyone gets 5 points to survive, and I just never include that.
You gotta
that.
Put that,
because
not everybody...
I did. I put that at the end of the blog.
Smart enough.
I put it at the end of the blog. I say all those remaining people get 5 points for surviving the episode.
Yeah, but... From a dumb reader's perspective, like myself.
Okay, quickly.
You have to put it in there.
The points for this week were just, it was a very slow week. Kara and Jamie for winning the challenge. Steven and Thomas for winning the elimination. Jenna and Brianna for fighting. Jenna and Brianna for crying. Jill cried.
Which I will say was like ambiguous, but I just didn't have the patience. So I gave them both on my own thing.
Can we agree that Jill cried? Too.
At the end?
After they lost the challenge.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
And then
sure.
That was literally that was it. And then everyone got
I'll go back. I'm going to write that down. I'll go back.
Look when they're in like the room and Bananas is trying to console.
I actually think I have Jill, but that just shows how much I care about the crying.
That's it. So then everyone gets 5 points. This is 5. Updated total. You have 355. I have 280. So you still got a solid lead.
Suck it.
I can't believe Jenna's doing as well for me. She is the second leading point scorer for the season behind the great Tony.
And as an update in the Patreon league that I'm in, I rocketed to second place because I had Thomas and I had someone else who did well, who won the challenge. I had Jamie.
Oh, you know, okay, there you go. Boom. Represent.
You get a point for being the chosen one, for being the person who does the challenge. So that was
me,
Thomas.
Well done. All right. Anything else?
You can follow me at Lash Tweets.
You can subscribe. Brian. You can subscribe at robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me at Bus Driver's Route. Oh, I did hear Rob questioning why my nickname is that. It's very boring. Should I give it now or should I save it for next week?
Let the people come to you. Tweet at Brian if you want to know.
If you want to know, tweet at me. Otherwise, it'll remain a mystery forever.
Follow him, tweet at him, look at his blog, and then maybe he'll tell you about it.
Yeah. And then if you want to start paying me for my services for scoring your fantasy league, you can
What kind of services?
Rock, paper, scissors game.
Ew, I'm grossed out. Let's go.
All right. That'll do it for episode 2. We'll be back next week, episode 3. Till then, have a good one.